Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy.
Welcome to Wednesdays in the Word. We are in Joshua chapter 5, verse 15. And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Dear Heavenly Father, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal your truths to us. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last Wednesday, we talked about the biblical context of the book Joshua. This episode, we're going to begin looking at the key word study. When we look at a key word and isolate it from within the verse, we are seeking the Holy Spirit's guidance over that word to help us learn truths for us about God's character, His attributes, and how knowing that truth, we can use that and it can help us in the way we think, in the way we love, and in the way we act. It changes our mind, our heart, and our soul. So the first key word I isolated was commander. When I looked it up in the dictionary, it means one in an official position of control. The first thing I then thought of is, how much official position of control do I give God? Then when I looked it up with the spiritual lexicon, it said chieftain, chief, ruler, official, captain, prince, general, keeper, lord, master, head person, overseer, one who has power over you. And when you look at it as the commander of the Lord's army, it literally in this verse means the pre-incarnate Christ, meaning it is Christ revealed before he was born as a baby. If you look at some other verses cross-referencing with this, Matthew 25:31, 2 Thessalonians 1:7, 1 Kings 22:19, and Numbers 22:31. If you look at other translations and what word they may have used where commander was used in the ESV Bible, I found captain of the Lord's army, I found prince of Yahweh's army, and I found prince of Jehovah's host. So that just helps me get a better understanding of what it means by this commander of the Lord's army approached and said to Joshua. It was Christ. Christ who was sent here to do God's work. Christ who came because God sent him. One commentary said, it was the visible revealer of the invisible God. I'm going to read something from Charles Swindoll. This is out of his study Bible. It says, consecration before conquest, from Joshua 5:13-15. This conversation at the end of Joshua 5 is the secret to the battle that is won in Joshua 6. Joshua is prepared for the battle in the quiet place of God's presence. Joshua is near Jericho when he is confronted by the commander of the Lord's army, who is the pre-incarnate Christ himself. He says to Joshua just what the Lord said to Moses when he stood before the bush that wouldn't burn up. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. Joshua was standing in the presence of God. You will never fight the Lord's battles the Lord's way until you have time alone with him, submitting yourself to his will. when you are alone with Him, it is amazing what He can do to break your pride, to get your attention, and to show you His plan. When you're facing the wall that is before you, God teaches you that victory comes not by might nor by power, but only by His strength. Wow. This verse, and just looking at the word commander of the Lord's army, really poses for us the chance to stop and think, how am I alone with God? How often am I alone with God? What is the priority of me being alone with God? How do I submit myself to God? When I am in crisis, how do I rely on God? How do I keep myself from battling on my own? I'm going to read a little bit more from a sermon by Charles Spurgeon. It's called Joshua's Vision. Jesus Himself comes in His divine presence. Joshua saw a man clad in armor equipped for war. There He stood, Jesus, God over all. Christ was in His midst with the sword of the Spirit in His hand. The glorious man, Joshua didn't even know whose side he was on. Christ carried a sword only for the purpose of love of His people. Our King is in the midst of us, and our faith should be an active exercise. If God be for us, who can be against us? When the King is with His people, then hope is greatly encouraged. Who can stand against the Lord of hosts? Where Jesus is, love becomes inflamed. There is nothing like the presence of Jesus. A glimpse of Him will overcome us, so that we may be ready to say, turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Suppose that Christ is here. His presence will be most certainly ascertained by those who are most like Him. Joshua was favored with his sight because he alone had eyes that could bear it. I would that all of you were Joshua's, but if not, if but some shall perceive Him, we shall still receive a blessing. I am sure this presence of Christ will be needed by us all. Go not to warfare at your own charges, but wait upon your Master. He will. He will. His promise is as good as ever. So I stop and I ask myself, and I invite you to ask yourself, how are you in the midst of the presence of your Lord and Savior? Are you attempting to go to war on your own charges? Or are you waiting on your Master? When I go into a situation on my own, it will fail. My flesh is weak. My nature is sinful. But if I can go in with the perspective and the perception that God is in this, it is His battle, then my circumstance is sovereign. Then I realize that the outcome is the outcome God has. Then I can look at it as, God, what do you have for me here? What are you gaining from me going through this experience? What am I gaining from you by going through this experience? So one of the first points then that Spurgeon makes in his sermon is, we must understand the Lord's position in the midst of His people. As captain of the host of the Lord is how He came to Joshua. What a relief that must have been for Joshua, Spurgeon writes. Perhaps he thought himself the captain. But now the responsibility was taken from him. He was to be the lieutenant, but the king himself would marshal his hosts. Wherever Christ is, we must recollect that he's commander-in-chief. We must never tolerate that any man should domineer over us or that we should have dominion over things. We have no one but the Lord and Master, our Savior, Jesus, that can control or be over us. And our own carnal judgment is foolish. We must simply be still. We must let the Word of God be paramount within our soul. We have one action, and that is to seek to be in the presence of our God. So just from that one key word and my digging and studying, where I am going to stay with this is, back to the beginning, what official position of control am I giving God? How much power do I really think the invisible God has in each and every situation that I am in? And what is my immediate readiness to recognize it and obey? Notice in the verse, Joshua 5:15, and the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy, and Joshua did so. Matthew Henry's commentary says, Joshua's immediate compliance with Christ's instruction serves as a model for our own obedience to God's commands, even when they are not fully understood. One example I have of that is 2019, I was working away, loving my job. I had a passion and profession in education, and I was actually reading in 1 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel 3:9, when it says, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth, which is what was told to Samuel to pray by Eli, because he didn't know, he thought Eli was calling to him and it was God. And so Eli told Samuel to pray that. And so I started praying, you know, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. I had no expectation of an answer. I had nothing I was trying to get accomplished. You know, sometimes we have something that we're trying to receive an answer about. It's a prayer request we have. It's maybe a change in profession or relationship or family or health. Well, I wasn't praying for something, expecting basically anything. I was just praying it open, like just being in surrender. I wasn't after anything or questioning anything. I was literally just praying it like, simply like Eli had said to Samuel, like if he's calling you, he's calling you purposefully. And so I thought, well, I should just pray if you're openly calling me. I don't want to miss that. So I literally just at night before I went to bed, I would say, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. And this went on for days, weeks, months. And then I will vividly always remember that it wasn't an audible, it wasn't a voice, but I just knew that I knew that I knew that God was telling me, and he used a few very noticeable things that affirmed this through other people, but I knew I was to retire from my educational profession at the end of that year, and I knew I was supposed to relocate to Northwest Arkansas. I had more questions than I had answers. I had more almost angst in leaving the profession, the people, my church, my community, but I had unsurmountable peace and joy in that I knew that I knew that I knew this is what I was supposed to do. And so after praying about it and talking with my husband, it was just crazy. But now fast forward, that was 2020, and this is now 2025. Fast forward to all that God has brought about through other people, through church, through community, through family, through the Spirit, to me. I cannot imagine anything other than what has transpired these last 5 years. I can't imagine what have happened if I had not sought, heard, and obeyed. Even though I had no earthly full understanding of the what, the why, the when, the where, the who. But it is a confirmation that if we pursue Him, He will reveal to you what He intends for you to do for Him, how He wants you to join Him, how He wants you to serve Him, how He wants you to speak of Him, how He wants you to surround yourself with others and communicate with them about Him, how He wants you to meet with Him in His presence, how He wants you to study His Word. He just wants you to be available. And then He wants you to set a priority of your daily commitment to Him, whatever that looks like. And for me, it's a very simple beginning of, I give you this day. I give you this day. And rid me of the things that are not becoming of a daughter of the King. Fill me with your Spirit. I need your Spirit every day. I need enough of your Spirit to get me through just today. And send me out under the people that will speak and pour into my life, and send me out to the people that I can speak and pour into. It's very simple. I do that every day. I do it on my knees. I give you this day. Rid me, fill me, send me. Very simple, very rhythmic patterned, the beginning of every day. That's before I pray. That's before I read the Bible. That's before I do any type of a word study. And I don't do the same pattern of meeting in the presence with Him after that every day anyway. But I do that one routine. I give you this day. Rid me, fill me, send me. That is my communing with Him at the beginning of my day. It's very simple. It's very sincere. It's very, I know I am in the presence of my Lord. I know it's on holy ground, even if it's just in my bedroom or my bathroom. That is my first and best that I give Him of my morning. And I just obey, and I am reverent to who He is and who I am in relation to that. So it's one aspect of something. If you don't already have a pattern and a rhythm of your first start of the day, do something simple like that. Make it very ritualistically, liturgically, rhythmically reverent, that you're sincere about it, you mean it, and that is the start of your day. Give Him your first fruits. Your first fruits. Then the other thing I want to leave you with is the idea about, if you are on your spiritual journey, it doesn't matter in what place of that journey you are on. You may just be starting this idea of Bible study and word study and reading the Bible, and you may have been on this journey for years, and you may be in the middle of what you might think is your spiritual journey. It does not matter where you are along the journey. It's that we approach our spiritual journey with reverence, that we acknowledge God's holiness and we give him authority in our lives. That's what Joshua did when this commander of the Lord's army showed up. He immediately recognized the reverence he should have, the authority this commander had, and he acknowledged that by very reverently obeying. And he did it immediately. I'm going to read for you out of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. And what that means to me is I am grateful for everything I have received from my God. And my faith in him will not be shaken. And I need to offer myself daily to be used by him. And first I have to say, am I acceptable to you? Which is why I rid myself and I am seeking conviction of what I need to remove. I worship him. I praise him. I love to turn on my worship and praise music then while I begin to get ready. And then I reverently study his word and I am in awe of all the truths he can teach me because he wants to burn us up. He wants to burn up what about us is flesh and sin, and he wants us to be consumed by him. He is that all-consuming fire and he's blazing for us. He wants to blaze within us. He wants to blaze around us. He wants to blaze through us. He is for us. He can do it. And all we need to do is seek that holy zeal, that fire, that we too can be emboldened by him. That's what overwhelms me with joy, is the fact that I have access through my belief in Christ who died on the cross for my sins, sent to earth by Heavenly Father God to make a way for me to spend eternity with God in heaven. I had to make that choice to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I had to believe. That's the first thing we have to do is, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ was sent to earth to die on the cross for our sins? He was perfect and blameless, the Lamb of God, but he chose to give his life for us, to meet the will of God, to make that way for us, to be purified through his death. And all we have to do is acknowledge that, be in awe and reverence that, and say, I believe in you. Yes, Jesus Christ, I believe you are the Son of God. I ask you to come into my heart and be my personal Savior. And I seek to live for you. Consume me. Burn up what about me is not becoming of a daughter of you. And bring the fire in me. Allow the Holy Spirit to reveal a flaming fire within me from here on out, that I live each day in pursuit of you. That's all it is, that wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you acknowledge with reverence his holiness, you give him all authority in your life, you acknowledge that he is commander, he has power of you, he should be the head of you, he should be your overseer, he is your keeper, your master, your general, your chief, and that we immediately obey when he allows us to see what it is he needs for us to join him at work. Let's look at Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.